If you have your Bibles, we're going to look in about three different places. We'll end up in Luke after a bit. But we're continuing our study in dealing with the Holy Spirit. And Francis Chan, years back, wrote a book entitled Forgotten God. That is what we're talking about. A lot of times we hear people talk about God. We hear people talk about Jesus. We don't hear near as much about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we hear about the Holy Spirit as some kind of force. It's easy to think of that because when you look at Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, it was a mighty rushing wind. There were tongues of fire. There was a demonstration of God's presence. I want us to understand as we walk through this together that the Holy Spirit is so much more than just that event. Each week when we gather as the staff, we spend time on Monday morning first thing talking about today. What happened on Sunday? How did it go? What were things that went well? What were things that needed help? What were issues that came up? All those things. We talk about things that are coming up, different activities and programs and things that may coincide with the church calendar. One of the things we do, though, is we pause and look at each other and say, where are you at in the Word right now? And what is God saying to you? That's where the Holy Spirit comes into our meeting. And we take time each week and pray, either at the beginning or at the end or sometimes both. Because we want to make sure that whatever happens in the life of our lives as ministers, for myself, Pastor Dan, and Pastor Sarah, that it's reflective of the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit. I've heard it said for years, ever since I became a Christian back in the late 70s, early 80s, that the Holy Spirit is the one that just seems to take the back seat. There was a great movement in the 70s and 80s where the Holy Spirit seemed to be the one that was in the front seat. And then there was this overreaction. And people are all over the map now because it's like, do we talk about a seeker-sensitive service? Or do we talk about a liturgical service? Or do we talk about more of a progressive or a charismatic service? And people are labeling it all around. And in the midst of that is the Holy Spirit. We can't. I'll just say it for me. I can't neglect, forget, overlook the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. This subject of the Holy Spirit, especially in light of what's happened the last 24 hours, you know, in El Paso and in Dayton, what's happening is the Holy Spirit needs to be more of a presence than he's ever been before because of all the junk that's going on, even in our own country. And Dayton's not that far away. It's one thing, El Paso, you can't get there from here, okay? You just keep driving, and when you've driven all you can drive, then you hop on a train, and when you've gone as far as the train goes, and it runs out of fuel, then you find a horse, and you keep riding that horse until it's ready to collapse, and you're almost to El Paso, but Dayton is very close. And when life is lost needlessly, it affects us, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I don't want to just preach, you know, the why about this is I don't want to just preach about another book or a book of the Bible and just say, oh, good, we covered that. We're very careful as a staff not to do that because it would be very simple. We live in that day of checklists, don't we? Whether it's a checklist of things I need to do or a bucket list of things I need to do or places I want to go, and we just check it off and move on. No, this is something that needs to become us. This is something that helps us to connect with our Creator, that helps us connect with one another. It's not just another book. It's handles for life. Whether we're struggling or hurting or lost or confused or stuck. The big reason I believe the Holy Spirit wants to connect with us in every segment of life. I'll say that again. The Holy Spirit wants to connect with us in every segment of life. Do not. It's tempting for us with our checklist to box the Holy Spirit and say, well, Holy Spirit's over here. I was at church on Sunday. Man, there was some great worship. Good Sunday school lesson. Oh, Holy Spirit was all over the place. And forget Sunday afternoon and Sunday night and Monday morning and the rest of the week. The Holy Spirit to connect with us in our joys and our hurts and our struggles and our victories and our defeats. Even helping to deliver us from sin, as Paul writes over in Hebrews about the sin that would so easily entangle us. The Holy Spirit. What my prayer is that we would have what I call a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I was a kid, I remember demonstrations. It was during the Vietnam War. And there were people in Washington and all over the country that were demonstrating that war and all the problems. I know we got a lot of problems in our country right now. It was the same thing back then, okay? Nothing new under the sun, all right? It didn't start with the last election. It started years, actually, it started all the way back to the garden. But here's the deal. There were those demonstrations and all those crazy, wicked things going on in the 60s, and then a thing called Woodstock. What a demonstration that was. And there's shows you can watch now for that three-day, whatever that chaotic thing was called Woodstock. I remember growing up, people said, the way you knew if you were at Woodstock was you didn't remember being at Woodstock. That's how you could tell if you couldn't remember. Demonstrations, marches. We've had marches all over. In fact, there are marches right now happening, and we're so grateful to have our son John with us from China. There are demonstrations that are happening now in Hong Kong because of political tensions between Hong Kong and the rest of China. It's very interesting, especially if you just look online and say, why are there demonstrations in Hong Kong? And Google that, and you'll find out the background. BBC has a whole overview of how that started. Back when Hong Kong was a colony of Great Britain, and the struggle that's happened since that has been transitioned now to China. Lots of demonstrations, but I believe in our day, we need a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. There are all kinds of demonstrations you can even get online. And I'm talking about people that would demonstrate different products. You can take this, you drink this, and you will change physically. Oh, it's amazing. Oh, you drink that like three times a day for, do you know there's a, I can't remember, I should have looked it back up. There's actually a restaurant somewhere, and maybe you can tell me this later if you want to Google it while I'm talking. Check, there's a restaurant that has had the same soup for 45 years, okay? I just looked that up. Restaurant, same soup, 45 years. If you get it before the sermon's over, just tell me where it's at, okay? But what they did was 45 years ago, at the end of the day one day, somebody just said, well, put that in the fridge, and the next morning, let's just add a little more meat, a little more veggies, a little more broth, for 45 years. And so now they can demonstrate, we've had the same soup for 45 years. You know, put that in your pipe and think about that a little bit, you know? There are people that even demonstrate. You can have a mirror that you put on the wall. I don't know if you know this or not. You can put a mirror on the wall for just $1,500, and it will demonstrate somebody exercising, and you can see yourself in the mirror. I don't ever like to look in the mirror. Why would I pay $1,500 to have somebody look at me in the mirror and tell me how to exercise? But people do that. Demonstration. But we are calling about a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul talked about, and I've been listening through Corinthians 1st and in 2 Corinthians as well. This idea is, Paul says, my message was not about these persuasive words. We can look up, and I'm going to give you the word, actually, demonstration, what it means in the original Greek. But it's not about just the word demonstration, it's a presence, the Holy Spirit. When you take and look deeply, it's the demonstration of His power, not my wisdom, not human wisdom, but spiritual manifestations of His presence and His power. In fact, in the original language, it says showing off. Janie used to pray this prayer, God, show up and show off. I used to think that was kind of a trite little prayer. But that's what Paul was praying. In Corinthians, when he said, God, would you just show up and show off? A demonstration, a proof by rhetorical acts, philosophic arguments, so much more. That's how the Greeks were all about their arguments. And Paul says it's not that, it's a demonstration. But here's what happens. Things get in the way of the Holy Spirit's demonstration, okay? Things get in the way. Perhaps our preconceived ideas, our traditions get in the way of the Holy Spirit working. As long as I can remember, we've always had this particular ministry. As long as I can remember, we've always done this particular custom in the life of our Sunday school class, our home group, our church, our community. As long as I can remember, I sat with some guys recently that were trying to maybe add a couple things to that event called the Moreland Fair, which is this week. And they said, well, we ran it past the council, and the council said, no, we can't add that. And they said, but the council has some people on it that are getting up in years, and when those people pass away, then we can do that. It was nothing bad. I'll tell you what it was. They wanted to add apple dumplings. Oh. I'm like, who's on that council? Let's pray down boils on them, you know? We got to have apple dumplings at the Moreland Fair. But anyway. But that's what happens is we get caught up in these little modes of it's always happened this way or it's never happened that way. Or maybe our title gets in the way. Or our pedigree. Pastors, sometimes we get lost in our titles. Will you understand? I went to this university. I've had this training. This is the title that I have, not just reverend or pastor, but it must be doctor. All these things. And we forget in life that it's not about this whole idea of our position or our pedigree. It's not about the fact that as you get up this ladder that you have more power. It's as you get up that ladder, you have more responsibility. For us as Christian, the same thing. If you've known Jesus for 10 years versus the brand new believer, you have more responsibility. If you've known Jesus for 20 years, you have more responsibility than the 10-year believer. As you continue to know Jesus longer and longer in life, actually, if you took that triangle, that pyramid of power, as you'd almost want to turn it upside down. Because the further up you get the ladder, the more responsible you are, the more people you have. Ask my friend Todd over here. It's one thing to be the head of sales in this particular area of a company. It's like, hey, he's got the title. He's the head. Well, he will tell you, I have more people that I'm responsible for, accountable to. And any good business person and church member knows this. It's about the person that walks in the door, the next person with the next need, and not about me. I love their slogan, for the people. Same thing here. We're here for the sinner. We're here for the lost. We're here for the hurting. That's what we're called to do. And so the only way we're going to make sure that happens is with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Us not calling the shots, the Spirit calling the shots. But here's the fear. Okay, there are different things that could come up. And one is this, the come and go, the fad. You know, what if this is just a fad? You know, maybe the pastor just got a hold of this particular book and he likes Francis Chan and he likes his teaching and preaching, and maybe that's just something that will just kind of come and go, you know? Like maybe this is the way you dress for now, but 6 months later you dress a different way. Believe me, the Holy Spirit is not a fad, okay? The second thing is, what if I seek this and nothing happens? What if I seek the Spirit and nothing happens? Just keep on seeking. Or what if I seek this because somebody else says I need it? These are all good questions, but the right question is, why do I need the Holy Spirit? Why do I need the Holy Spirit? The thing is, we've been given wrong information. We've been given this thinking is that, you know, we get so caught up in all the things that we do that we forget the Holy Spirit wants to outdo what we're doing. He wants to, and he may want to take us a whole different direction. A whole different direction. And I'm not here this morning to tell you 20 things I believe the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you. That's not it. I'm here as one of you. In fact, if I could, it would be just as easy for me to sit here this morning with you and say, Holy Spirit, teach us all. Because Jim needs to hear what Jim is saying this morning. Jim needs to apply what Jim is saying. It's the same thing every Sunday. It's not just me coming here and just saying, okay, I'm going to give you this and we're all going to go out and do all this stuff. It's me learning alongside with you. But the information has been, well, you got to be careful because the Holy Spirit may make you think, do things you don't want to do. Well, test everything according to the Word. You know, grab your Bible. Just keep it close by. The Holy Spirit will do nothing in and through you that is not in direct connection with the Word. It all goes together. In fact, you can't pull it apart, just like the Trinity. Just like you can't pull the Holy Spirit away from God the Father, God the Son. It's the same thing with this. I need the Holy Spirit because I need a counselor. Every year, I sit on the board at Olivet Nazarene University, the board of direct trustees. And every year, we get reports of the number of students that come. And every year, it says that we're having more students that are seeing the counselor, the on-staff, the full-time paid counselor on campus at the medical center than the year before. Same thing's happening across universities. More and more kids seeking and needing help. We have a counselor. We have a guide. It would be so awesome if every day we would just wake up. This is my desire for me and you as well. Is every day we just wake up and say, Holy Spirit, what is it today? Who is it today? Where is it today? What is it today? What am I going to say today? Who is that person I need to meet today? And maybe it's just a stranger we don't even know. And the Holy Spirit opens the door and soon we're there. I love it when Pastor Bob was here a couple months ago talking, and he just talked about how the Spirit directed them to minister to different people. We need that counselor, and most of all, we need his power. We need his power. Let's look at Luke this morning. Luke chapter 11, we'll end up at verse 13, but we'll start back at verse 9. And this passage of Scripture parallels with what Jesus was teaching over in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. I think some may even call this a sermon on the plain, but just for geography reasons. But Luke chapter 11 gives us, like I said, the same teaching that comes out of the chapters of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I love, though, as he teaches about prayer, he has kind of a condensed version of the Lord's Prayer. But as he teaches, he goes on into verses 9, and you see this in Matthew 7. The Lord's Prayer is in Matthew 6. We see it in Matthew 7, this idea of asking, seeking, knocking. Here in Luke 11, you see the same thing. I just love these verses. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you have asked for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. That's a good promise right there. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Look at verse 11. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Let's say those three words. How much more? One more time. How much more? If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, we live in a time and we live in a country where we know how to give good gifts. We do that. It seems like more and more children who are younger and younger are getting cell phones and tablets and other mobile devices, you know, laptops, and it's part of the schoolwork, it's part of their life, and they have all that stuff, and they have all those toys, and as they grow up, and when I was a kid, it was a big deal to get a bicycle, you know, that was a big deal. And I'll never forget that bicycle that had the banana seat. Anybody ever have a bicycle with banana seat? That's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that. And it had the big steering, you know, the big handlebars, you know. And then as you went on, and I'll never forget going to Bill's bicycle shop and getting my first bicycle that had more than one speed on it. That was pretty awesome. These days, it's all about, hey, by the way, he, she, they're about 15 years of age. We better be looking for a car. Because they're going to be 16, and when they get 16, they need a car. I've told you this story before. I'm just an old guy making fun of young people. That when I was a kid, you know, if you had a car, it was usually your mom or dad's car. And by the time you got your car, it had rust here and there. Four speed, maybe three of them worked. It's okay. But see, the thing is, we now know how to give good gifts, all right? When I went to college, I got an electric typewriter. For graduation, some people just got a, anybody just get a suitcase? You know, you got a suitcase for college? Maybe you got a kick in the seat of the pants? I don't know what you got to go to college. A couple dollars. And my electric typewriter had a manual return on it. Don't even see those anymore. I got all my stuff in the back of my little Dodge Colt that had a little trunk, and now when kids go to college, I'm just sounding older all the time. I'm not. We'll go run after church. I'll do a 5K with you. But now it's like people have their own apartment. You know, you go to Target. I haven't been there yet this year, but I'm pretty much sure if you go through Target in what's called the Action Alley, the main alley behind the checkout stand, you're going to see refrigerators, you're going to see microwaves, you're going to see flat screen TVs because these kids are going to college. You know, it's tough when you go to college. It's hard. Yeah, you know, I've known of people. Believe me, I've known of people that have gone by the campus after the graduation in May. I don't think you can do this anymore. I think they outlawed it. But they used to go by the campus after graduation and look for furniture that the kids had tossed. That's nicer than the furniture we got at home. Look at that stuff, you know. You walk in there, is there a desk in here anywhere? You know, you go in the apartment, it's awesome. Now, I'm not bad-mouthing that. I'm just making a point. We know how to give good gifts, don't we? We can give gifts. And I'm thinking in relation to that, this is my whole thing, because we can get our kids in the sports, we can travel everywhere, we can celebrate their victories, we can do all the activities, whether it's sports or drama or 4-H or Boy Scouts, we were in Boy Scouts, all these other things, we can do all that stuff. And Jesus takes all that stuff and he lumps it together in one verse and says this: hey, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your kids, just take all the gifts that you would ever give to your kids and put them in that one little category. And then he says, how much more? As I read that this week, and I just kept reading that over and over and over again, I thought to myself, I put everything, social media and all this other stuff that seems to be the platform for praising our kids and celebrating our kids and our grandkids, I put all that over here on the shelf. I'm like, how much more do they need the Holy Spirit? How much more? How much more do they need the Holy Spirit? I want us to wrap up the sermon this morning by going through, if you have a bulletin, you'll see on the back, I've been talking through some of this stuff. There's a book entitled Discipled by Jesus by Hal Perkins. The thing I love about Fritz is when Fritz was in his career at Ball State, he was the guy that did copywriting for Ball State. Anytime Ball State had some kind of book, presentation, video, movie, whatever, students, the same thing, they run it by Fritz for copyright. So I can tell you, whenever I give you something, you'll know I didn't make this up, because Fritz is helping me stay honest here, and I love these people. They've even been to our church years ago, Hal and Debbie Perkins, good friends of ours, Discipled by Jesus. If you ever get a chance to get the book, it's a great one. In that book, the entire text boils down to these five statements about a daily meeting with Jesus. I thought about that this week as I was studying concerning the Holy Spirit, because you can't separate Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. I want us to use these questions to say Holy Spirit, because Jesus promised us that when he went back to the Father, which he's done, he sends the Holy Spirit, which he's done, to what? Guide you into all truth, to remind you of everything that Jesus has taught you. You feel lonely, lost, depressed, down, discouraged? Holy Spirit's ready. So here are the five things, okay? And instead of saying discipled by Jesus, what if we just said discipled by the Holy Spirit? One thing is this: knowing who Jesus is. Jesus is traveling, he's teaching. You'll see the reference there in Matthew. And he starts asking the question, who do people say that I am? So the first question we should ask ourselves throughout the day, whether it's first thing in the morning or last thing at night, is, Jesus, who do I say that you are? That's what he did to the disciples. Who do you say that I am? CNN says Jesus is this. NPR says Jesus is that. The History Channel talks about the historical Jesus. Fox News talks about this Jesus. All these others talk about this, that. But the same thing is with the Holy Spirit. Who do we say the Holy Spirit is in my life? What is he doing in my life? Sometimes it's easy for us as individuals to get wrapped up in what we see the Holy Spirit not doing in somebody else's life, and what we wish the Holy Spirit did in their life. But the question is, what is he doing in mine? The second thing is watching what the Holy Spirit is doing. Do you understand what I've done? I love John chapter 13 as Jesus is teaching and he's moving among the disciples. They're sharing that last meal together, what we call communion. He's washing their feet. He's talking about his betrayal. And in the midst of that teaching, he asks the question, do you understand what I've done? As we go through the day, do we see Jesus at work? Do you understand what he's doing around us? What has he been doing the last 24 hours? People talk about daily devotions, personal devotions, time in the Word, quiet time, whatever you call it, Sabbath. And basically it boils down to this: what do we see Jesus doing? What is the Holy Spirit doing? And the third thing is this: listen. Are you listening to what he is saying? Won't go into that. You get a lot of spouses in trouble about how they check each other out. Did you hear what I said? Yes, honey, I heard what you said. Yes, dear, I heard what you said. But that's not what they're asking. They're not asking, did you hear the words? Did you hear the heart? Do we hear Jesus' heart? Do we hear the heart of the Holy Spirit? The fourth thing is this: are we doing what he wants? Do we really love him? As I said last week, it's not so much about me coming and giving more information week after week and teaching you some truth you'd never heard before. In the time that we've been together, pastor and people, we've covered the book. We've covered the book. The question is, as Jesus is asking his disciples at the end of that gospel, and they ask, or the answer say, Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. He says, feed my sheep. It's this idea of obedience. It's this idea of doing the mission. And so the Holy Spirit is called to help us do the mission throughout the week. And the last thing is this, do we believe what he promised? It ties it all together. Do we really believe the resurrection power of Jesus will flow in and through us today? The same thing with the Holy Spirit. Do we really believe that he's flowing in our lives? The Holy Spirit, I got this quote from Francis Chan. The Holy Spirit does not seek to hurt us. He does seek to make us Christ-like. That's what holiness is. Church of the Nazarene, our responsibility is to make Christ-like disciples of all nations. Holiness. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. That's what Jesus is praying for and talking about in this chapter, John chapter 11. Do we really believe in that resurrection power? It was Jesus talking with Martha and Mary and Lazarus dead in the tomb. And they're talking. They're having that discussion. And they say, yes, Lord, we believe that, yes, at the end of time, you'll be raised and we'll be raised and whatever you said. Well, yeah, Lord, we believe it. Just, yeah, whatever. But Lazarus is dead. But Jesus wanted to know, do they really, the same thing with us and the Holy Spirit today. Baptism is about being immersed. We talked about that last week. And the word for baptism is the same word as the word overwhelmed. The Holy Spirit wants to overwhelm us. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to overwhelm you? We talk about the Holy Spirit and we try to describe the Trinity in this way. We're like, okay, well, the Trinity, it's like water. God is like this vapor, and Jesus is like this liquid, and when you freeze the liquid, it becomes ice, and it's all H2O, whether it's in a foam or more of a fog or more of a liquid or more of a solid. Or maybe it's an egg, the shell, the yolk, the white, or maybe the clover. There's three leaves, yet there's one clover. But the thing is that the Holy Spirit is so much more. The Trinity is, the problem is we try to put the Trinity in our box. But the Trinity is so much more than that. The Holy Spirit is so much more than that. He wants to help us every encounter we have. Yesterday I was in line at a gas station. Sometimes you go to Sam's Club and it's like 25 cents cheaper than it is at the other station. And it's like, everybody's there. And I'm just thinking as I'm in line, I'm like, this guy two in front of me, he must be getting between 80 and 100 gallons of gas. Because it just kept going. And I'm watching cars, and you do this, I know. And this car is advancing, and that car is advancing, and four or five down, they're advancing. I'm like, should I back out and go down there? I'm like, just stick. Janie and John are in Sam's getting a couple things that we need. And it's like, wait. And I just almost felt like I need to go up and ask the guy if everything was okay. Do you know how to use the pump or whatever? It's like, but in that moment, it's like, you know what? I just need to take some time and pray. I just need to take some time and pray. Right there. In the parking lot waiting to get next in line for gas. See, the thing is, God is so much more than we can imagine. Incomprehensible. Incomparable. Unlike any other being. So much outside our realm of existence. That really gives me hope. Does that make sense? Because the thing is, if I can explain God, then I'm kind of in charge and he's kind of at my command. But he is so much more than I can explain. He's so much more than I can comprehend. And Paul tries to communicate that from time to time as he's teaching about Jesus. It amazes me how many different angles Paul used. And even at the end of Acts, he almost persuaded some of the leaders to become Christians. But he was using every opportunity the Holy Spirit wants to use us. Are we going to be overwhelmed by him? Who do we say that he is? Is he in your life? Is he in your life day by day? Do you see what he's doing? What has Jesus done? What has the Holy Spirit done in your life in the last 24 hours? Just think about that. Are you listening to him on a regular basis? It's one thing to be listening to somebody right in front of you, but to listen for the Holy Spirit speaking as they are speaking as well. It helps you to hear the heart of that person, not just the words, but the heart of that person. I've had sometimes, and you, maybe this happens to you as well, I get so busy. The other day, Teresa, who cleans our buildings here, Teresa Johnson, Eric's sister, she came in and she was sharing something with me, and I was wrapped up in this right here. I was wrapped up in this. It was Tuesday, and the pressure was on. Get this thing done. Get it done. And I was listening with one ear and typing and writing and thinking with another and all this other stuff, and I left that day. I thought, well, Teresa was talking to me. I nodded. I wrote down what she said she needed supply-wise and what her concern was. But when she came back on Thursday, I said, you know, Teresa, I apologize. I was all wrapped up in what I was doing, and can we just kind of rewind and replay that conversation? Because sometimes when people are talking about cleaning supplies and issues of taking care of buildings, there's something beneath the surface that's going on as well. You know that? The Holy Spirit wants to do so much more behind the scenes. And that goes to number four, taking care of His sheep. All of us have a responsibility. Do you know all of you have sheep? You know that. We heard that in Sunday school. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, we have sheep we're called to take care of. And really believe what He says. Will you allow Him to overwhelm you? Let's pray about that this morning. Jesus, in these moments, we do pray that Your Holy Spirit would truly overwhelm us. We know that Your Holy Spirit is more than a power, more than just some kind of force, although there is power with the Holy Spirit. We know that Your Holy Spirit is so much more than we can encapsulate in some mindset of this is how the Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is always up to something good for the kingdom. Lord, help us to listen today. Help us to listen. It could be, Holy Spirit, that You want us to speak to somebody here before we leave today. Or maybe, Lord, it's the fact that You want us to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, go and talk to a relative who's struggling. Maybe we've looked around the sanctuary this morning and we see somebody who's not here, and it's not that they're on vacation. Maybe they're struggling. Maybe they're hurting. And if they're on vacation, that's okay. We can contact them when they get home. Just say we missed them, Holy Spirit. But Lord, help us to always be aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And help us to be able to pray and reach out to those around us who are hope, who need hope. We saw that in Sunday school, that we're living in hopeless times. People are struggling and they're expecting others. They're expecting governments. They're expecting all different kinds of entities to take care and give them hope. But Holy Spirit, You are the one that can give hope. Maybe this morning, Holy Spirit, we're the ones that need a shot of hope. Maybe it's us. Would you stand with me this morning, folks? Can we stand together? It's us. It's family. Is there anything you'd like to come and pray about this morning? I know in the Sunday school class, I had the privilege of sitting in with the Crews and Eagles this morning in their Sunday school class and share an hour together, and what a blessing that was. I know they have prayer needs. Maybe your class had prayer needs. Maybe you aren't in a Sunday school class yet and you just have prayer needs and you want to come and pray at the altar. Here's the place. Just to gather at the altar to bring that need. I love the altar because it's a physical reminder of a spiritual encounter with the Creator of the universe. In your life, Randy Knuckles, he texted me a while ago. He said, not going to make it this morning. Had a flare-up. Please pray for me. Deb Barton was planning on making it. Had a bad night. Want to pray for Deb. Linda Likens is in the hospital at Methodist, downtown Indianapolis, and she is just hanging in the balance between heaven and earth. And Linda needs prayers this morning. I know others that need prayer this morning. Don Lephart goes to the skin doctor this week, concerned about possible cancer on his ear. I know that others this morning, our own associate, Pastor Dan, if you see him kind of walking gingerly, he's got some bad back issues. He needs prayer this morning. I want to pray for him. As we talked about Fritz and the tests he's been through and the tests he's facing, I want to pray for Fritz. Any others want to come and pray this morning? My prayer for you, as we're in this time of prayer, is that all of us will sense an encounter, a regular moment-by-moment, breath-by-breath encounter with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, as we pray this morning, we join together with those around the world, tens, hundreds of thousands, millions today, on the Lord's Day are gathered in different places of worship. It may look like a sanctuary. It may look like a two-car garage. It may be out under a tree somewhere. It may be a storefront. It makes no difference. All we know is, God, we need you. Jesus, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Our world needs you. Hurting, damaged, grieving families in El Paso, Texas need you. Extended families of those that died, those that are wounded, scattered around the world need you. Families, extended families, people in the Dayton area and surrounding area need you. Linda Likens this morning in a hospital bed, and that little guy Dustin just a couple of doors down who's only 23 with the same damaged lungs that Linda has, they need you. We know that both Dustin and Linda have their lives completely surrendered to Jesus. That's the faith. That's the hope. That's the assurance. Yet today they need a healing touch from the great physician. Holy Spirit, move in that room. Minister through those nurses and doctors and others that come and go. Be in those waiting rooms. And for all the needs we've talked about this morning, Jesus, minister, we pray. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down. Fill us, mold us, shape us, use us. Kick us to the curb so that you can have freedom to move throughout our being. And we'll give you praise, we'll give you thanks, we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.